Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99 cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome, everyone, to another episode of Positively Trek. My name is Barry, and with me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Mr. Dan Gunther. How are you doing today, Mr. Dan?
Hey, Barry, doing well. Excited, of course, as always, to talk about Star Trek and getting into the holiday spirit here in sort of, I guess. It feels kind of un-Christmassy weather-wise, but we're doing our best.
Well, yeah, weather-wise, we're experiencing one of the worst droughts in our history. I looked at the drought map on Environment Canada, and I was like, woo, it's starting to sing that song by Bing Crosby. But we might get some snow out here in the Canadian prairies. I know the eastern half got a smattering of snow recently, but we might get some, but then we might also get some freezing rain, too. So right in time for the holiday season, right? Just totally good until actually Christmas immediately. It feels like
so
a message.
Festive.
I don't know. Oh, yeah. No, definitely. So if anyone is planning on traveling, of course, happy to be little bugs in your ear while you guys travel from place to place. I find podcasts are always the way to go, traveling really long distances. But that's probably why I'm a podcaster. Do you listen to your own podcasts ever, Dan?
I used to. I don't anymore. I basically, when I've gotten to the point where I'm editing most of everything we do here, and I've heard it so many times by then.
Yeah, no, that's fair. But I will actually, like, because I'm subscribed. So like if it's in my feed, sometimes it just starts. It's always weird when I've got someone else in the car, though, because they're like, are you talking right now? And I was like, yeah, I am. So
it's a bit weird. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like I've got a good voice for radio. But either way, folks, if you are traveling and you've got a podcast in your ear, make sure you've got two hands on the steering wheel and both eyes on the road while you're traveling, because it can get pretty funky out there pretty fast. So everyone take care and safe travels.
I've been told I have a good face for radio. Is that the same thing?
Or? More or less. Yeah, definitely.
Okay. Yeah, we'll go with that. Yeah.
Let's swing over to the news and talk about some of the new things that are happening in the world of Star Trek. First of all, work on Star Trek Prodigy Season 2. It's been completed. I am very excited to hear about that.
Yeah, definitely. So yeah, December 13th was when this came out. Prodigy Season 2 done, packaged, wrapped up with a bow just in time for Christmas. It's ready for Netflix. Unfortunately, we won't be getting it for Christmas. Season 1 will get that on Netflix, but Season 2 still at this point just sometime in 2024. But yeah, we've got tweets from Dan and Kevin Hageman and Aaron J. Waltke talking about wrapping the season. So that's exciting.
I am wildly excited about this. And, you know, we do want to make sure that we're watching season one so Netflix doesn't get any funny ideas. we got to play the game, folks, and make this happen. But yeah, what a great time to know this is happening. This definitely gets the hype up. Going to have to renew that Netflix subscription.
Absolutely. So yeah, I'm going to be, like I said, streaming the heck out of this season one on Christmas. And then as soon as this drops, season two, still, like I said, don't know the date. Don't know if it's going to be all on one day. Not sure. Big question mark for these, but we'll be talking about it here. Absolutely.
Abso-freaking-lutely. And beyond that, we've also got Star Trek Strange New Worlds is going to be starting principal shooting in the new year. Well, they've actually begun filming, but I think that's Section 31 starts in January. Yeah. So there's a lot of Trek coming back. That I'm glad the strikes got figured out. It sounds like the workers got what they were looking for. And so that's going to be fun. I also appreciate in the news the newscast, they even talk a little bit about some of the splodies that are going to be taking place. There's things that say, caution, loaded pyro. Your console is going to blow up, yo. I like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to take a little second here to just complain about something.
Uh-oh.
And that's nothing new. It's clickbaity articles on social media. A couple days ago, there was an article talking about these tweets and stuff, basically saying like, Strange New Worlds teases major Star Trek event, major Star Trek happening is going to happen in season 3. And I'm like, well, I didn't see anything like that. Let me click this. I think it was, might have been Screen Crush or Screen something, one of those. I don't want to besmirch Screen Crush because I actually like them. It's Screen something else. Anyway, okay. The whole article, and of course, it's doing that thing where it says, you know, the tweets were sent, blah, blah, blah. If you don't know, Star Trek Strange New World started in this year and it's written by these. And, you know, it has all that preamble stuff and you're like trying to find the thing that the article was talking about. Yeah, it was talking about exploding consoles. There will be exploding consoles in season 3 of Strange New Worlds.
Sounds like someone's never watched an episode of Star Trek.
Yeah, their whole thing was like basically this iconic thing from Star Trek they're doing in Strange New Worlds. It's like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, rocks come out. Rocks come
out. Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so that was my little tiny rant there. Clickbaity articles, guys. Stop that. Stop that. But yeah, Strange New Worlds began filming December 11th. They're going, they're filming strong. And then, like you said, Section 31, they're filming starting in January. So very soon.
That's exciting. I'm very, very excited for seeing how this little mini movie, this Section 31 movie pops out. I think I'm very interested to see what they're going to get Michelle Yeoh doing.
Yeah. Well, I mean, even some people who are, I would say, very casual Star Trek fans, like definitely not tuned into all this stuff like we are. I had one of them come up to me the other day and say, they're still doing the Michelle Yeoh thing? She's going to be back in Star Trek and it's going to be a movie? Oh my God. Like really very excited about this. So
it's a very good idea.
I think, yeah, it has the potential to break through in ways that, you know, Picard season 3 has and Strange New Worlds has into kind of more of the public consciousness because Michelle Yeoh has such a big name. There are people excited that this is happening, not just the diehard Star Trek fans. So this could be very good.
So last one, and this is again, maybe not a ton of news, but it's definitely an announcement. The new Star Trek diecast collection is being picked up by Fanhome. So they do different types of collectible kitsch, as I like to call it. But apparently they are really trying to lean in on the detail. They're trying to make sure that there's going to be a lot of different types of ships, all that sort of stuff. And I'm pretty excited to see sort of what exactly is going on here. Nothing is necessarily set in stone yet, but you can go to their website and sign up. And once you hear from it, they're saying third quarter of 2024 is when we're going to start seeing ships start appearing. And yeah, if they're really good, I'll definitely have a look and see what we can get set up. It's always been sad to see Eagle Moss disappear the way they did, but if we can get another reliable company to build us some Star Trek ships, I'm pretty happy. It doesn't matter what color the cat is as long as it catches mice.
Definitely. I've said this before. I really want a Protostar. Give me a Protostar. And while we're at it, I'll take an Enterprise, Enterprise G and or Titan A, whatever. Like, yeah. I want to see some cool stuff. Looking forward to this.
Well, I do have to say once again, JJ Model Making, Bill Krause on the socials, y'all doing your, here's a picture of the ship I'm working on all the time. That's always a delight for me, but here I am just hanging out with the USS Bozeman.
Nice.
I'm listening. again, super obscure. If this was even a known ornament, people would be like, is that the Reliant? I'm like, no, it's the Bozeman.
even the Reliant ornament, people are like, what is that?
Yeah. And then my whole like, yes, this is Kelsey Grammer's ship.
The dedication plaque on that ship should be like, you know, Seattle shipyards or something like that. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think its little quote should be, hey, baby, I hear the blues are calling, toss salad and scrambled eggs.
Or just like when they do just a section, it's like dot, 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 they're calling again.
Yeah, exactly. There you go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thank you so much for downloading this episode of Positively Trek. We truly do appreciate each and every one of our listeners, and I'd like to especially thank our Patreon supporters. Thank you to our Constitution Class supporters, Jim Stoffel, Joyce Marin, and Paul D. Kinnear. If you'd like to become a supporter of Positively Trek and join our crew, please go to patreon.com/positivelytrek. You can get early access to episodes, exclusive content, shoutouts, associate producer credits, ad-free episodes, and more. Again, that's patreon.com/positivelytrek. Thank you all, and live long and prosper.
Well, I think this is a wonderful place to get onto our main topic, as we have already sort of moved into the festive discussion of obscure collectibles. So shall we get onto the main discussion?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Well, today, yeah, we are going to be talking about festive Star Trek ornaments, the interesting and entertaining sort of official kickoff of Star Trek tree ornaments. It was in 1991 with the Hallmark Starship Enterprise, the OG original one, and then obviously has branched to some really interesting and strange places that I often think that people who aren't Star Trek fans would find perhaps a little jarring. So what we want to do today is we just want to talk about some of our favorites. I can talk about some of my improvised Star Trek ornaments. Word to the wise, eagle moss looks really cool. Not so much if you wire it to your tree and then a cat gets at it. And then you sort of revisit the destruction of the USS Reliant. Just the wrong nacelle broke off. It's no good. But anyways, long and short of it, what we want to do today is talk about some of our favorites, and then, of course, y'all should chat about it yourselves, show some pictures of what you've got on our Positively Trek discussion. It's always lovely to see festively adorned trees, and if you aren't celebrating Christmas, just show us pictures of cool Star Trek stuff you got. Just, you know, it's a festive spirit that we all can get into in that respect. So, first things first, Dan, what kind of ornaments do you have on your tree? Are there any notable ones you'd want to bring up right away? Any favorites?
Well, I mean, I've got, I'm embarrassed as to how many of the Hallmark Trek ornaments I have. I have been collecting them for quite some time. So I do have quite
well,
a few.
You've come to the right place.
Yes, absolutely. So I do have quite a few of those. My wife, Nikki, of course, not quite so many, but on the other side has a number of Star Wars Hallmark ornaments. So our tree is an interesting mishmash of our fandoms, as well as other more kind of traditional Christmas ornaments thrown in the mix as well. But there have been years where, you know, we had a kind of smaller tree. So, you know, by the time we got the Star Trek and Star Wars stuff up, there's not much room for much else. And frequently at this point, we have to leave a number of them off because there's just so many now. So I have a Trekkie tree usually. Absolutely.
That's lovely. So do you ever have like armadas of ships that would like face one another on the tree in a subtle way? Or
I did have one year a pretty cool like Reliant and the Refit Enterprise kind of facing each other. That was kind of neat. I thought of like going, you know, the whole three-dimensional thinking, right? So I was thinking of having the Enterprise below and like ready to come. And then I was like, that's putting too much thought into it. But
obscured by some shiny garland, some iridescent garland.
Exactly. Yeah.
No, that's wonderful. I improvised my first few Star Trek ornaments. There was sort of like the desk Star Trek Enterprise. It was kind of just a little dinky plastic thing, very cheap, easily breakable, I would find. But yeah, I just sort of kind of wired it so that it could hang and sit there, but it would flip upside down on me all the time because that saucer section is just so darned heavy. And so, yeah, the Matt Jeffries design kind of went the way I think some of the executives at Paramount originally pitched it, was that they brought in the Enterprise upside down, basically, and were like, perfect. And Matt was like, no, no. I want it to be opposite so that it's impossible to stand up on its own.
Exactly.
if I was to say, personally, one of my absolute favorite Star Trek ornaments would honestly just have to be the different iterations of the Enterprises. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the D just wonderfully looks on a tree. So to start with the Enterprise, start with the Enterprise D. Well, I had when the D was opened or when it was brought, but it's not saying anymore.
The whole thing. Enterprise D was 1993.
Was 93? Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Where are you on right now? Because I had it all queued up here.
I can share with you a spreadsheet I made a long time ago.
You made a... Okay, hold on. We're recording right now. So, Dan, I've called you here because I found out you had a spreadsheet on the different Hallmark Christmas ornaments.
Yep. So I've just shared it with you. This was something that... I made years ago when I decided, you know, I want to get all of them and which ones do I have and which ones do I not have? I still don't have quite a few of them and I kind of stopped going back trying to fill in the collection, but I'm looking and it's been a while. So it's only current up to 2018. So it's I haven't updated it, but yeah, there's all of the Hallmark Star Trek keepsake ornaments.
That's absolutely wonderful, and I'm happy you have it. Okay, so yeah, I found all the things here. So, and actually, I've got the list that I was looking for too. Now,
nice.
So yeah, the Starship Enterprise D came out in 1993, and when I think about the D hanging from the tree, and I'm trying not to rhyme, but I continuously am doing this. For me, it really does kind of represent that sort of homey feel. When I was a tiny person watching, you know, what season 1993, what season 4, season 5, something like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's peak Next Generation. For that to have come out at that period of time, hotcakes would be how I would describe its. It's, you know, movement from shelf to Christmas tree. And I begged my mom for one of these ornaments. And unfortunately, I never ended up getting one. Yeah. Sometimes it just doesn't happen. And for whatever reason, it didn't get prioritized. But it was one of the first, you know, three or four models to have come out for the Hallmark keepsakes. Just to have that on the tree, I think I am going to try to see if I can find it. Typically, you can still get it for under $30 out there. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Do you have the D?
I do have that one. I remember that was one I think I picked up later in my life. I didn't get it when it first came out. But I do remember, and I've since found this on YouTube, the television commercial advertising it, and it was Patty Yasutake as Alyssa Ogawa ordering this from the replicator. And the replicator saying, unfortunately, it can't be replicated. You have to go to your nearest Hallmark store or something like that. And oh, it's an adorable commercial. It was really good.
Computer, access the new keepsake magic ornament from Hallmark.
Accessing USS Enterprise, a collectible ornament accurately representing the Galaxy-class starship. Ornament carries Earth date 1993 and illuminates in a realistic manner.
The new Starship Enterprise ornament, please.
Replications are copies. Only Hallmark carries authentic keepsake ornament.
Suggest solution.
Call 1-800-HALLMARK for store nearest you.
And yeah, so 1993, that would have been Christmas 93 would have been season 7 of TNG, actually. So oh, wow. Season 7 was running at the time there. My absolute favorite one actually comes from the year before. So the Enterprise D was the third one to come out. 1991 was the original Enterprise, only released in the US. So actually a little harder to get up where we are.
Yeah. But expensive too.
Yeah, absolutely. I definitely don't have that one in my collection. But the following year, I remember my parents bought me this. It is the oldest one in my collection, 1992's Shuttlecraft Galileo. And it is absolutely the coolest ornament because when you hit the button, it is actually Leonard Nimoy as Spock. And he recorded a special thing for this ornament. And it goes,
Shuttlecraft to Enterprise. Shuttlecraft.
And it is like, that is burned in my brain from how many times I pressed that button. to hear that on the Christmas tree. So I still have it too.
That is the most wonderful thing in the universe, actually.
It really is.
Because also, like, you know, like let's put it out there. Galileo 7 is probably one of my all-time favorites. So, mm-hmm. Yeah. No, the Galileo shuttlecraft always sort of has had a really sweet spot for me. I actually have a Galileo shuttlecraft, again, a desk model, basically of the same kind of ornament. And it just turns on like a little light. It's a little impulse. Mm. Engines in the back light up. And I think the nacelles light up in the back too, just sort of a regular kind of color. But to have Leonard Nimoy actually do that, that's just like him. That would have been in, I bet you that was in his like singing about Bilbo Baggins phase.
Yeah, 92. So it would have been well after that.
Never mind.
Yeah, but it was nice too. The front three viewports lit up with kind of a warm yellow glow, and then the back impulse engines lit up as well. The warp engines didn't, unfortunately, but one of my treasured Star Trek things.
I absolutely. That's totally cool. So obviously, while they go down their list, they released the Klingon Bird of Prey in 94, which again, totally awesome and badass thing to have on your tree. Mm-hmm. But I had gone with the 95 Romulan Warbird myself. I love those. They look so great. The Dedera decks, and like seeing the one from Lower Decks,
Found
just to be totally cool and amusing. But in between that, wedged in between are our two captains, their first debut in Christmas ornament form. Bill Shatner starts it out sitting at the captain's chair with the sort of resting on his fist with his chin kind of thing. And then you've got Jean-Luc Picard in 95 also popping in, coming basically through one of the hallways of the Enterprise D, sort of ostensibly, and he's just sort of standing there. What do you feel about the people version of the ornaments versus the ship version of the ornaments? I have a very, very specific preference.
I mean, I enjoy both of them, and the ships are just so, like, they work so well kind of floating there, like they're suspended in space, right? That said, and there's kind of two different phases here, because I feel like the early figures and some of the really early stuff is really, really, really good. And we'll come to one that's just absolutely my favorite at one point. The more recent stuff, they're shrunk down a little bit. The likenesses aren't quite as spot on. I'm a little less enamored with those ones. The ships are consistently amazing though. So I would have to give a nod to the ships, but some of the figures are so good too.
Yeah, I think it is sort of a time fixed that one. They got more and more specific, and I think that's honestly though where I will say, like, I definitely prefer the ships. I don't know if I'd ever go myself for a figurine necessarily. I would definitely go more for the ships themselves. Maybe not the miniatures in 95. They also came out with just sort of like a set of I think it's like, I don't know. They look kind of slapdash. Like, I'd say the micro machines look way more accurate than these guys do. I mean, if anyone has them, I'm not throwing you any shade or anything like that, but they're just not as creative. But, I typically go with the ship over the figurine any day, unless I got something weird. And I want to talk about the weird things later. There's even a ship I probably wouldn't get. And I think of it more of just for the sake of, like, I would get the joke or I would get the reference, but there's a lot of people I know who would be like, what? Why is that hand there? What's the glowing hand doing there? Anyways.
Yeah.
So yes, they start toying with these figurines after that. And getting the sound out of the figurines, I find, is interesting too. The fact that they were able to, in some cases, like you're saying, get the actors to come in and do the voiceovers for... I mean, and that goes all the way as far to Enterprise. I remember I got a friend the NX-01. And it had Scott Bakula saying, the Federation or the Starfleet feels that we're ready to do our mission. Take us out, Mr. Merriweather. Straight and steady.
Mm-hmm. Now, interestingly, yeah, the Galileo shuttlecraft, I think, is the only one where they recorded something specific for that ornament. All the other ornaments are just clips from various episodes and stuff. But that's just another reason why that shuttlecraft is so iconic in my mind.
Well, 100%. And again, like, I wasn't even expecting that. I didn't know that Leonard Nimoy did a special recording for it. That's pretty darn cool.
So figure-wise, I have to say my absolute favorite, it's kind of a little bit, you know, 10 years after they started the ornaments, 2001, this one came out, and it's Captain Benjamin Sisko. And it's very simple. Like, up to this point, usually they'd been very... there'd been a few before that didn't have any kind of set pieces around them. This was just Sisko standing kind of proudly with his hands behind his back. And I just love this ornament because of the attention to detail. You turn it around and in his hands that he has behind his back is his baseball. And I just, for the simple fact of opening that box, pulling him out and seeing that, I fell in love with that one.
I can appreciate that. And I do have to say, Avery Brooks was able to command that character with such an understated strength. I do think that's good. And I was gifted from a friend, one of those like super hyper realistic like toys of Sisko. Like you can get like each of the captains. And yeah, he had a little baseball he came with too, which I just really enjoyed. For figurine set pieces, I do have to say Michael Doran's Worf was pretty freaking badass. He's in the Star Trek Generations outfit, and he's got his Batleth ready to go.
I think Deep Space Nine is, I think he's from DS9 in that one. If I'm right, he's got the red uniform, I believe.
Oh, he does. Never mind. Yeah, I'm just not seeing that right. So... They've got that one. But one that I really, really enjoy is the Catherine Janeway. Came out a little earlier in 98, where she's leaning against like the banister on the bridge, sort of. And she's got that kind of relaxed, sort of cockeyed look that Kate Mulgrew was really, really good at giving her.
Yeah.
That one, again, is a really nice sort of model. I think the weird ones I find at this age are the blown glass models, though. Have you heard of the blown? You probably have the ones that are made out of like an actual blown glass. So they've got Worf, and then there's an Enterprise one from 1999. Mm-hmm. And I just, first of all, like they're hard to find because I think they break very easily.
I think so. Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe not, right? Like some of them probably would be made pretty fast, but there's a few that wind up being quite rare. Near this period of time. And I just find that funny because, like, again, it's not unusual to have blown glass ornaments, but, you know, blown glass ornaments of your favorite science fiction characters, I always find is kind of amusing.
Mm-hmm.
So going into sort of the more obscure world of the Star Trek ornaments, what would you say would be some of the weird ones that maybe, you know, like, company might find peculiar? What ones pop to mind? I've got a couple that would just sort of probably put the company off a little bit.
Yeah, there's a few. As far as dioramas, I think is kind of the one that they started doing in the later years that ends up being some odd choices. One that gets talked about a lot, usually comes up in some sort of article every year, it seems, is 2015's The Needs of the Many. And that, of course, is the death scene of Spock in Star Trek II, The Wrath of Khan. Because, you know, nothing says Christmas more than a half Vulcan dying of radiation poisoning behind a plexiglass wall.
right?
Which, you know, it's a lovely piece and it's nice for us Star Trek fans, but... it's an odd choice, I do have to say.
I like that they do quotes and stuff like that as well for them that would just again be somewhat off-putting, like the man traps, "It's killing the captain, shoot it, doctor, quickly." just right in the tree, you know, you're listening to rocking around the Christmas tree, and then someone manages to push that one. I think, you know, just off-putting wise, that one's a really weird one, because like in the right angle it almost looks like Kirk's looking to make out with that thing, and like, you know, space babes and stuff aside, you know, it does sort of create sort of an awkward image. But I think the biggest one, and this is actually one that I've seen in the wild, is the Devil in the Dark one. Have you seen that one?
I have. I don't own that one, actually. And that was one I was going to mention as well, as being like, you know, to a Star Trek fan, very poignant scene, very cool.
Oh, yeah. Pain.
Pain. Somebody visiting would be like, why is this person kneeling next to this blob? What is this?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it was mentioned by my aunt that it looked like Spock was worshiping some chewed up gum. And I'm like, you know, I'll give you that one.
Describe a Star Trek episode badly. That's a good one.
Yeah, right. So I think more or less thinking about the other aspects of sort of weird and off-putting ones, I think I like the Sulu attacking Kirk with a sword.
Richelieu, really beware.
Right? Or yep. It's an earlier one, but it was like Kirk in a pile of tribbles.
I like that one. That one's cool. So it's enclosed and it actually has little tribbles in it. When you hit the button, it has a mechanism that brings them back up to the top and they keep kind of falling on him. As you hear like tribbles cooing and purring and stuff. It's a pretty cool ornament. I like that one.
That's amusing. I enjoy that a lot. So the other one, and this one's actually brand new. I've seen it not in the wild, but actually at the mall. The Hand of Apollo.
Yes.
When it's grabbing the Starship Enterprise. I was killing some time waiting for a prescription to get filled when I was sick. And so I'm just hanging out and I'm kind of by the Hallmark store, which is near to our Shoppers Drug Mart. And Dan knows what I'm talking about. But
oh, yeah.
I'm there and I remember someone saying, like, I'd buy that, but it's got a weird hand on it. And I'm like, oh, you don't know the episode. But I also understand why you wouldn't buy that, because it's got a weird hand on it. It's a glowing hand.
That's a bit weird.
Yeah, it is actually, like, it's not totally off-putting, I would say. I think we can still kind of figure out who it is. But in all, sometimes I think it's funny, the collectible stuff and how far our lovely franchisers will go to give us something nicely obscure.
Mm.
So the other one I wanted to mention here are the incredible rare ones that I found. And the most expensive one that I think I've managed to find is, it's a toss-up, actually. This one's the most expensive of the Hallmark ones. So apparently in 2011, the USS Defiant, the old Star Trek one from Tholian Webb, that glows in the dark, there was only 700 of them produced, and it sells for approximately $3,800 American.
Yep, that was a New York Comic Con exclusive from that year. So you could only get it by going to the New York Comic Con. I don't believe they sold it online even. I think that was, well, 2000. Yeah, you had to be there as far as I know.
Wow.
Or know totally someone who wild. Was.
Well, and they did the same thing in San Diego in 2009, earlier as well, with Lieutenant Uhura.
Yeah.
Where she's in the yellow uniform. And that sells typically somewhere around $1,800
Yeah.
As well.
I remember I looked into that to get one because I was like, oh, I remember this one. And I looked it up and I was like, oh yeah, nope. Guess I am just never going to have that one.
Well, even the regular ones, even the regular Uhuras, like, will run you mid hundreds, closing on $150 in a lot of cases. So yeah, that's unfortunate. So pitch wise, have you ever thought about making your very own Star Trek ornament? Would there be one that would just come to mind that you would say, you know what, that would be a really cool scene or a really cool idea or anything along those lines?
Well, I mean, at this point, my mind immediately goes to ships, which, you know, I want a protostar. I want a protostar really badly. And I feel like a Hallmark ornament of that would be really cool. And, you know, honestly, like, I could see some dioramas from Lower Decks or Prodigy being kind of fun. I don't know exactly what scene. Maybe just them in the bar, you know, jumping up and down, chanting Lower Decks or something. That might be actually a pretty cool Hallmark ornament. Prodigy, I'm less certain as to which scene I'd pick, but I'd love to see, like, you know, a Murph or a Rock Talk on my tree. I think that would be pretty cool.
Oh, a Rock Talk would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a serious pitch and I have a not so serious pitch. One works in my head, but it would be too many choking hazards and too much just confusing bits to it. But the other one actually is a lower decks idea.
Okay.
And it would be all of the lower decks guys, like our main four, and they would be in their beds, their little bedding area. And they'd have it would be a diorama. They'd have their little Christmas tree and it would be kind of them in their beds, sort of sleeping, waiting for Christmas to come, kind of thing.
Oh, I like that. That's really cool.
It would be kind of more dimly lit and they're all sleeping or doing whatever, right? Like Tendi might be doing something and, you know, I don't know. I don't have much to think about it, but I've often thought that that would be sort of a nice little heartwarming kind of lower decksy thing. Because I think despite its more kind of Devil May Care comical Rick and Morty style exterior, it's actually got a lot of heart.
Oh, absolutely.
And seeing them all very comfortable together, I think would be pretty important to go and see ultimately.
Mm-hmm.
So the other one I can't say would ever really work, but we've been talking about like complicated dioramas that are, you know, kind of impenetrable to the person who isn't used to Star Trek or understands it. And I think 2009 Star Trek is a woefully underutilized Christmas ornament run that Hallmark could do. The 2009 has some really cool scenes, some really cool ships, and whatnot. And so I think the Romulan space drill would be hanging from the Narada, right? So you got that. Okay, so there's the first bit of the scene in my little Hallmark Christmas ornament. And then you'd have a bunch of dead Romulans in either spot. And then you would have a Sulu and a Kirk that could fall off of it. But their little figurines would be attached by a little wire and they'd be magnetized because they got to click together, right? And then the whole thing, as it goes down, you hear like, pull my chute, and then, like, we're falling without a chute, and then zip, it would stop, and then gotcha, yeah, Mayor, and then the whole thing would just retract itself and it would start over again. But I feel there's a lot of pulleys, a lot of wheels, magnets, choking hazards.
I feel like for this to be perfect, it would need to run the length of the tree, the height of the tree. Like the drill would have to be near the top. All of this action would be taking place like practically down to the skirt. And then
yeah. And actually you could even have like a little bonus one where Chekhov just goes, Olsen is gone, sir.
Poor Olsen. Oh no.
Yeah, I love that. Kirk, Spock, Lieutenant Olsen. I'm like, oh, he gonna die. That's the end of him.
Oh,
that's not a lump of coal, that's Olsen.
Ooh, ouch. From the 2009 movie, I actually, the Kelvin ornament that they made for that is one of my favorites. I really like that one. My wife Nikki says it's weird looking. She doesn't like it, but
I don't have a problem with the look of the Kelvin, to be honest.
Oh yeah, no, I like it. The only other one other than the Franklin I have when Beyond came out, is they have in 2015, the meeting between the Spocks at the end of the movie. And I actually really like that ornament, because I think Leonard Nimoy gets one of the best lines in that movie, which is, since my customary farewell would be oddly self-serving, let me simply say good luck or something like that.
Yes. Well, actually, line. I think he gets two good lines in that, actually, because the other one is, I am not our father.
Yes.
Why didn't you? Sorry, now I'm going to just quote that whole scene. So that's my absolutely completely bonkers idea for a starship ornament. Now, obviously, Hallmark also came out with a full-on Enterprise tree topper, but I feel like everybody in the family is going to have to love Star Trek if you're going to be putting that thing in, or else coercion has taken place. You did not get that ethically.
I'm allowed to have it on the tree every other year.
Oh, really? That's a good compromise. Yes. I appreciate that. I truly appreciate that.
Yeah. I have, just looking at this list as well, the list that I made a few years ago is only current up to 2018. I never did update it, but I actually got these exclusive ornaments that year at the Star Trek Las Vegas convention, because I went there in 2018, and they put out an exclusive Lieutenant Moress and Lieutenant Eriks from the animated series, a pair of ornaments. And I'm so happy to have those in my collection, because, you know, they're kind of exclusive. They're pretty cool and definitely a conversation piece for when people who maybe know a little bit about Star Trek, but not all of it, when they see that, wait, who are these two? What's this about? And that's kind of fun.
Ah, that's lovely. I'm realizing also that in 2012 they started re-releasing, and I was talking about the D earlier, and it's definitely a much better designed ship. Mm-hmm. It even can be put on a little stand when it's not Christmas time, as well. So I do have to say I am pretty happy with the sort of how they've managed to find a way to make it more than just a Christmas ornament. But I was going to ask you, again, San Diego Comic-Con has a super rare Kelvin. The blown up and blasted Kelvin came the same year, but that bad boy runs for around 500 buckaroos. So no, thank you.
Yep. I do not have that.
No, thank you. I wouldn't want to do that one. Of course, there's also like rare golden Enterprises as well that sort of show up a few times. But the most recent ones, I think, are quite interesting because you can actually get a badgie for your tree at this point as well. And I gotta say, I don't know how I feel about getting a badgie on my tree. He's a scary character.
I gotta say, yeah, that's this year's crop of ornaments. They came out with a pair of badgies to hang on the tree. Mm-hmm. And I haven't put them up yet, and Nikki is also unsure how she feels about Badgie being on the tree. So yeah, she's not a fan of that character at all.
You can spray him silver and he can be Goodgie.
That's a thought. Maybe they'll put out a SDCC Goodgie exclusive next year or something.
You know, aside from the Mirror Universe ornaments that have just come out recently as well, they were last year's. It's good to see that that it seems like they're not running out of ideas for things to do. And of course, they're even getting stuff from Star Trek Picard. La Serena came out a couple of years ago, which is pretty cool. You've again got kind of larger dioramas and stuff. You've got Burnham and Saru, the Discovery itself. Mm-hmm. And one that I've always loved is the OG tricorder. If I could ever get my hands on an OG tricorder, that would be just cool to kind of go with my Star Trek costume that I wear every Halloween, because that's what I do. One of the last sort of honorable mentions I'll give as well, and this one perhaps is a little easier to find, though it is a rarer ornament, and it's one that you would definitely have to possibly explain because it's not the D, would actually be the 2017 Enterprise C. I like the look of the sea. I've always loved it. And among Christmas ornaments, I've seen the sea as well in the wild. And I developed a little more love for it. I don't typically think much about the Enterprise C. I don't find it to be the most inspiring of the Galaxy class style designs. But I don't know. Add some garland, some tinsel, some lights, and some unaffiliated ornaments, and it looks really good up there. So I'm going to end on saying that I just, as a tree ornament, the Enterprise C is just, it's a stout little number. I like it a lot.
Yeah, I'm a fan of that one. Another one that they did a battle damaged version of a couple years later from SDCC. True. And I imagine it's probably a pretty penny as well.
Looks like it. Yeah. Going through this list, it's amazing because like you get ones that are $10 and then other ones that are, you know, $5,000, you know, so a lovely trip down the ornament lane. Now, I don't have any ornaments for the current tree that I have. Unfortunately, I've yet to start. We actually just got a brand new tree this year. And so we'll be adorning it with less kind of sort of the bland, like these ones are all silver and black or something, or silver and gold. And so we'll use those. Eventually, we're going to try to get kind of more specific ornaments for the tree and stuff. So there will have to be some Star Trek that's going to go up there. And I mean, I would even support my better half and allow her to find some NSYNC Christmas ornaments, perhaps. There's got to be some out there. I don't know. And if there isn't, there's our money making venue, sir.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm sure. I'll go in with you on that. I'm so happy that, you know, my wife's other great love is Star Wars. So, you know, I feel like we could probably set up an epic battle between the two universes on the tree somehow, with, you know, Picard out front giving an inspiring speech and Darth Vader facing him down with a lightsaber or something.
Just getting ready to force choke him.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, a bit of a shorter episode, but we are coming up on the Christmas holidays, so there is quite a bit happening here, there, and everywhere. But like we said at the start, it's always important that we're safe in our travels and make sure that you have a lovely and restful season. And you know, make sure that you're watching some Star Trek. See if you can get some people watching a few episodes. I'm definitely going to binge out on a couple of favorites and probably, you know, subject the family to this, that, and the other as well. Do you have any Star Trek Christmas watching that you get done while you're on holidays at all, Mr. Dan? Or do you, are there anything traditional that you have?
Nothing really traditional, just kind of the usual Star Trek watching that I do from time to time. However, I would be remiss if I didn't mention season one of Star Trek Prodigy dropping Christmas Day on Netflix. Gonna be watching that on that day, and I hope a lot of other people are too, to, you know, get those streaming numbers up and make them realize what a gem they have there. So I think that's going to play a big part in my Christmas holidays this year.
Well, let's arrange a rewatch, you and me.
Absolutely, for sure.
I have to say, when Christmas time comes around, I start watching a lot more of the original series. It's a weird thing. I think it's a comfort thing. It's around this time that my grandpa would have introduced me to the first episode of Star Trek I ever watched, which was Balance of Terror.
Oh, nice.
So, yeah, where he just was like, this is what it was like, the submarines, I think, because he wasn't in submarines, but he's like, this is naval combat.
Well, I mean, you know, they didn't shy away as much from some of the more traditional stuff in TOS. You know, we had apparently Kirk up to some shenanigans at the science lab Christmas party on the Enterprise at one point. And we also, in the episode Charlie X, I guess it's not Christmas, it's Thanksgiving, but we get the voice of Gene Roddenberry over the intercom saying there's turkeys in those ovens, real turkeys.
I didn't know that was actually Gene Roddenberry saying that.
That is apparently Gene Roddenberry. He did the voice of that. That's the only time he appears in Star Trek, sort of.
Huh. I'll have to watch the episode and listen to it, because I'm not terribly familiar with Gene Roddenberry's voice necessarily. Like, I might not be able, I know Michael Dorn's voice more and better if we think about like Star Trek actors. Like, I actually spotted Michael Dorn in a movie recently and was just like, that's Michael Dorn, I can hear his voice. And then, yeah, it turned out it was him. It might have been a Christmas movie, I can't remember. Yeah. But anyways, well, with that, we hope everybody continues that conversation about their favorite Star Trek ornaments, or even ones that you've just sort of managed to get on the tree somehow, right? I mean, gorilla ornamenting is 100% acceptable with the Positively Trek crowd. So make sure you share what you've got. On our Positively Trek Facebook community, we would love to see what absolutely stellar ornaments you yourself have.
Absolutely, yeah. One thing I used to do every year, and I haven't in a while, is I took a video of my Christmas tree and with the different ornaments, but we're a little late with the tree this year. I don't know if I'm gonna be able to get that done or not.
Do you play the when you're doing like the ship movement around and stuff, do you play the music, like the motion picture music?
Ooh.
When Kirk is looking at,
yeah, that makes sense. Actually, it's funny because there is a refit Enterprise model and there is an Ilea one, so you could have a whole motion picture section of the tree and play Ilea's theme like they do at the start of the motion picture there.
And all the lights and stuff just make it all like blues and oranges, and you can be like, I am penetrating the V'ger orifice as you're like moving into the tree. It's perfect.
So festive. I love it.
More Spock. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, perfect. Yeah. We need that.
Oh, as like Spock with his thruster pack.
Yes. And one of his things would be saying like the very like innuendo-laden scripting that took place at that time.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're getting way off topic, but that's the best part about conversations during the Christmas holidays, is you've got the time and you've got the cheer in the company to be able to do that. So wherever you are, whatever you celebrate, and wherever you may be, we hope you have a wonderful holiday season. And as we always say, stay positive.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.